Hi everyone, welcome to the last podcast of 2020. This week I am chatting to you about, well, what would I say, a big juicy creative burst that I've had recently. I have been painting my little heart out, painting all sorts of big canvases, and I wanted to talk about how I found my mojo again. So with that said, let's dive into the podcast and you can find out all about it.
Hello, Laura. How you going?
I'm super good. I'm on a bit of a high, actually.
Super good.
Super good, yes. There's a whole lot of reasons. One is I'm kind of in holiday mode and have wound down a lot of things for the year. And I've been in my studio painting my little heart out and loving every minute of it.
A lot of minutes.
A lot of minutes. It's been a big, juicy burst and several days in a row dedicated to painting. And I don't know that I've done that all year.
I was just about to say, it's like the old days.
Yeah, it has taken me back. And I hope that there's many more bursts to come. But what I wanted to do was talk about what some of the ingredients to that painting explosion has been. What I mean by that, well, like, what conditions created the perfect opportunity to find my mojo? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Because I thought it might be helpful, because there's been a lot of lessons I've learned this year, and many of them have come from doing the artist interviews. And it was only when I was thinking about it, so this all happened, and then I reflected on it. I thought, what was it that made those last few days so special? It came to me today and I realized I've been putting into practice some of the wisdom and the words of encouragement that other artists have provided in all of the podcast interviews that we've done. So I'm going to talk a bit more about that as I break it down. But yeah, I'm just so grateful for those interactions during this year because they have impacted upon me on a very personal level. So yeah, what happened? How did this all start?
Well, I remember you staying up one night and you were listening to music and I wanted to watch something on TV and you put your headphones on and then you went, I know what I'll do. I'll make a new playlist. And then I think you fell into bed at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I went down a YouTube, Spotify rabbit hole searching out new music, listening to old music and really enjoying myself while I was doing that. But I decided that I was going to create a new playlist and I wanted it to be something quite upbeat, bit poppy, energetic, because that's what I felt like I needed, you know, when you just want to let loose a bit. And for me, my bigger paintings, when I paint on canvas with acrylic, it's different to the watercolor work that I do. It's a lot more energetic. There's a lot of movement.
So you said you went down a YouTube rabbit hole. Were you thinking of painting when you were listening to that music?
Yeah, I was. I decided quite early on that I wanted to create a painting playlist that I felt would inspire me while I was in the process. So I was thinking about, you know, how would I move to this music? And everything that I put on there had a bit of, yeah, like a bit of rhythm. You know, they weren't really slow songs. Although
I hope you don't paint like you dance.
What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with my dancing. I like to move around when I'm painting. Sometimes I enjoy listening to sad songs when I paint too, but for this particular, I guess, series that I'm working on, and maybe it's just the mood I'm in at the moment, Christmas, festive, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I want happy, uplifting.
Well, it's blue skies and 32 degrees.
Yes.
So how could you not be happy?
Yeah, and summertime music. It's summer where we are and it's the beginning of the summer holidays. And they're the kind of songs that I was choosing for my music list. So that's how it started. I think it can be important to kind of get the conditions right for creativity. And that can be something as simple as creating a new playlist. And I'd underestimated how motivating and enjoyable it would be to have some new tunes to listen to.
The next day, where you're thinking to yourself, I can't wait to get in there now and listen to my playlist and get painting.
I think I said that first thing in the morning. I didn't realise that it would actually get me into my studio, but I woke up and I went, I really want to listen to that playlist. And I know people are going to ask me what's on the playlist. It's a lot of quite mainstream pop songs on there. So I've been loving Sam Smith. He's got two new songs at the moment. One's called Dancing with a Stranger, and I've been obsessed with that. And I also really love the new song, and I've just gone blank. The song's called Rescue Me. What, One Republic? Yeah. So I've been, yeah, getting back into my pop music. So I'm just going to, yeah, put that out there because, you know, no doubt people will ask, and I'm not, you know, listening to,
you don't want to know,
classical music or anything. Like my daughter, or our daughter, she's way more cool than me. You know, her playlists are more, what's the word? Hipster. But I like, I'll just put on Beyonce and be happy. Anyway, you're shaking your head. You're saying, move on, Laura. Move on. What else? Other conditions that made this painting experience really good for me was actually having paint. And a while ago, we filmed a vlog where I did an unboxing of a whole lot of new paint that I got from Matisse. I have made the decision to mostly use one brand of paint, which happens to be Matisse. I just really enjoy their paint. I'm not sponsored by them, but, you know, that would be nice.
If you're out there, drop us a line.
If you're out there. But just having the one brand, all the paints work really nicely together. And I've stocked up, so I had everything that I needed, the colours that I want. So that just makes life a hell of a lot easier. You know, I always think clearing your space, making sure that your wherever you paint has got good vibes is also a valuable thing to do. And I do that from time to time. I just clean things up a bit, rearrange things, make sure that I have everything I need close to hand. I do like things to be fairly clean and organized, not obsessively, but that's just the way I am. I'm like that in the studio. I know other artists that love to have just a mess everywhere and stuff, and that's how they work best. So this isn't about doing it how I do it. It's about figuring out what works well for you.
If I was an artist, you wouldn't be able to find anything in here.
But I just love the cleansing feel of a fresh studio space. We're heading into a new year, which means that I always love to do that extra sort of almost like a spring clean, although it won't be spring, it'll be summer. But, you know, where you really just pull everything out, sort through, get rid of brushes that are damaged or paint tins that are empty. I'd love to repaint the walls. I like to freshen everything back up. I just said I mean you.
Oh, did you see my face?
I don't paint that kind of way. That's boring. You can paint the walls. I'll paint on the canvas.
I just painted the outside of the studio.
And sort through stuff. And that involves getting rid of things too. There is a podcast episode all about that. So I'll link that in the show notes if you want to check that out. But you don't want to spend too long and not actually paint anything.
Buy all your paint. Get your playlist together, yeah. And then don't even paint.
Because there is that risk, isn't there, that you spend all this time getting the conditions to be perfect. And what you actually need to do is just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once I had everything I needed, I made a bit of a declaration about what I was going to do. So last week, was it last week? I'm not sure. Yes, I think it was last week in the vlog, I mentioned the things that I wanted to get done before the end of this year. And one of them was to list some work in my online shop, and that is in progress at the moment. And the other one was to finish off some big paintings for the cafe where I have been showing my work for many years now, and to do that by the end of the year. So just putting it out there, that was very motivating for me because I almost got sidetracked. I had another idea around putting something together. I think it was an online class type thing. And I was like, oh, it would be a really good time to do this because we're heading into the new year. And then I had to stop myself and go, no, do what you said you would do. Go and finish those paintings, one thing at a time. So I found that very helpful. Declaring it was good. So telling someone that this is what I'm going to do. When I started, I didn't want to do it. I remember it was a day, it was a lovely day. I think it was a really nice springy weather, and there was a temptation to just do some gardening, read my book. I think I said that to you. I went back to my usual thing, which is just get in there for half an hour, give yourself a chance. But if it's not working, then do some gardening. And that is a mindset that I've carried for a long time now, because for me it honours both the need to show up with the need to respect your own creative flow. Because sometimes you're just not feeling it, and forcing it doesn't always work. But you've got to keep on trying, build that habit of, you know, practicing your art. So I did that. Sure enough, once I was in there and the music was on, it was fantastic, you know. Actually, you know what? I just realized that was day two, not day one. Day one, I got in there and I loved it because I had my playlist. Day two, I didn't feel like painting. That day, I went, no, keep going. Keep going for half an hour, an hour, and then it flowed from there.
I remember day two.
Yeah.
Because you finished painting. I think the kids had gone to bed. And you said, oh, I'm just going to nip into the studio. I'm just going to have a quick look. And I'd finished doing what I was doing maybe 2.5-3 hours later. And I come out to the studio and you're bopping away painting.
I couldn't stop once I started. Yeah, it felt so damn good.
Yeah, and that's what it used to be like.
Yeah, it's such a good reminder. It's a reconnection with the why of it all. So I just mentioned about declaring it. And I also had a very clear idea of what I was going to be working on, because I had decided what canvases I was going to paint. So I knew what size, how many, had a rough idea around colour and things like that. So I'd... Why are you laughing?
I'm just thinking back to that night when you came back in. You just said, I'm just going to prep this canvas for tomorrow. You never came back.
Yeah, I don't normally paint at night. I'm more of a daytime painter. But yeah, I've been swept up in painting for the last about 4 days. Just can't stop.
You've knocked out 3 pieces.
Yeah, I painted 3 paintings from start to finish. I mean, I've been known to spend months and months on one painting, years even.
Yeah. And I love the way your creativity gives you loads of confidence, because you're strutting around the house going, we could have filmed the course, Richie.
I'm like, I know.
No, we couldn't have.
I didn't realise that painting is a very big factor in how I feel about myself, like self-esteem and confidence all intermingled. Yeah. You're absolutely right that the painting just made me feel amazing.
Yeah. You're a painter.
Yeah, like I'm like, this is me, this is who I am. Like, yeah. It just, yeah.
And don't ever forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had sort of forgotten a little bit. Interesting. So anyway, I'd set the scene, created an awesome playlist. I had all my materials. I'd decided what I wanted to paint, and I'd got in there and started. But one thing that helped me through the 4 days, and this I am so eternally grateful for the artists that have helped me with this, was that I approached every painting with an attitude of gratitude. Huh, there's that little phrase. But I mean, this is something I've always known about, but I just don't think that I was really connected to it. Do you know what I mean? You know when you can be going through the motions with something, but you're not really, I think gratitude can be like that. You know, like everyone talks about having a gratitude practice and writing a few things down. But there's a difference between really feeling it. I actually feel like that podcast has been transformative for me. Speaking of it, we should actually say which podcast it is. And most people who are listening probably know what we're talking about, but we are talking about the conversation that I had with Carrie Schmidt. So I'm going to link that in the podcast. And I also wanted to mention the podcast with Pamela Bates, because Pamela also talked about how she starts every painting with gratitude. I feel like this practice connection is, it brings so much ease to your experience of painting. You know, you don't need to...
How do you go about being grateful to a painting? What's your thought process there? Like, are you grateful for the health to be able to paint? Are you grateful for the wealth to buy materials?
Well, no, I think that I am grateful for the way that painting allows me to learn. Like, I think that that's where, like, I love what painting has done for me on a personal level.
So when you're feeling energetic and confident and brave after a good session,
then it's a thank you to that painting. Yeah. And as well, like, not every painting session is like that. You know, some painting sessions you come out of and you're stomping around and you know, and because you feel frustrated or you're lacking in direction, and
you got to be grateful for that too.
Yeah, and I think what has been the biggest learning point for me over the year is just a gratitude for the spectrum of experience and emotion that you have in a painting practice, being able to see the learning that's in any experience. You know, so when you paint, you're always going to learn something. And I have always known that. But the last few months in my painting practice, I have been able to let go of the judgment of my painting and just soak up whatever it delivers to me. But I do find that it's helpful before you start a painting practice just to remind yourself of that, you know, to be kind to yourself while you're painting and to be open to the learning that's going to happen. And, you know, just saying something like that to yourself or to the painting can be enough to help you hold a positive mindset as you work. So once I started painting, I painted one piece. What I decided to do was to go back into that piece What I decided to do was to, in effect, try and sort of replicate that piece when I did the next painting. So rather than looking for a new idea, I wanted to go deeper into it because I enjoyed it so much. I didn't want to keep searching for new things. I wanted to go deeper and, in a way, get some mastery around what I was doing. And I think this is an important thing. This is something that's come through again and again in the artist interviews as well, is repetition, like practice, doing the same thing again and again. And there are always going to be subtle variations and new discoveries, even when you're pursuing a theme or, you know, a body of work. But when it comes to finding your style and things like that, what I have noticed is that most of the artists that I've spoken to actually made some kind of conscious decision. And if you remember Amica Wincott's conversation, she was very open about how she set herself a time frame, 6 months, I'm going to find my style.
She was great.
And that's sort of like, we laugh about that, but I've been noticing that that many artists do get to a point where they go, you know what, I'm going to do the work now. I'm going to figure this out. And they make these decisions, things like, I'm going to clear my studio, I'm going to get rid of distractions, I'm going to, you know, develop a habit, like I'm going to get in there at certain times. Like they really decide, they make a conscious decision that, yep, I'm doing this. You know, they go, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to paint big canvases. And you might end up removing other things in your studio, like your journals and things like that, and just having your big canvases there. In fact, there's a podcast interview coming up where this is talked about, but I won't say any more about it because I realize that one hasn't been released yet. I think it is very helpful to bring in some parameters and to be very deliberate about the work that you're doing. There's a lot to be gained from repetition in your work, so doing similar things again and again. And that's what I've decided to do with this series of paintings. And it's so brilliant because you're not trying to figure it all out every time. You've got some tools that you're working with. And I sat down and actually wrote down the steps of what I was doing. The first time that was actually really hard because I got to the end of the painting and I was like, whoa, what did I do there? And at this point, I was thinking maybe it could be an online class. And then I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure it couldn't be because I'm not quite sure what actually happened. But I tried to sort of ascertain some key parts in there. And then the second time, I was observing again at the end of the painting, what happened? What were the steps? How did I start? And breaking it down into layers because that's how I work. So, you know, a background layer, building up, you know, energy maybe in a second layer, adding depth of colour, then simplification, that kind of thing. So working through the steps and then also getting into the materials. So I was having a look at my process so that I could replicate it again and again. And this isn't about developing a formula. This is about becoming masterful at your work. So once I had started painting, we've already mentioned that I did a lot. Like, I painted many hours for 4 days in a row. I worked across multiple pieces. So I had quite a few canvases on the go. But for each day, I focused mainly on one painting. So while it was drying between layers, I may have put down a background layer on one of the other canvases. But for the most part, I just focused on that one painting. I found that was good because I could keep the momentum going with it. Now, I often talk about bouncing from one painting to another to keep the freedom going. I guess I'm just sharing an observation here. This isn't necessarily a suggestion, but it worked this time to focus in on one painting. I kind of gave myself a bit of a challenge around, could I finish one big painting in a day? Could I just let it be, let it come out and not worry about it being perfect?
I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah,
because you sometimes have an issue or a problem deciding whether a painting's finished or not.
Yeah, it is challenging and many artists find it challenging. I've got better over time with it, but it's still a skill that I want to improve. Like, how can I finish things? So this challenge helped enormously, where I was like, you know what, I'm going to do a painting a day. Now, often when artists do painting a day, they'll do something small, like a paper piece or a watercolour piece and things like that. Now, I'm pretty comfortable with that kind of painting and could probably paint 6 to 10 watercolour pieces in one day. But when it comes to my bigger canvases, I don't have that same confidence. And so I've recognised it's something that I need to develop. So I thought, you know what? What if I did a painting a day, but it's a big canvas? Why not? What I did was just basically stay really free flowing for 80 to 90% of the process. So not much thinking about the outcome, just playing with color, line, all those things. I had a few parameters in place because I always start with kind of like a color palette in mind and things like that. That's how I tend to work best. But playing within those parameters, I got it to 80 to 90% finished, took a break, cup of tea, again, very standard practice, took a photograph of the painting, brought it in, cropped it, put it on my computer, brought it up on the screen with my cup of tea, had a look at it and just went, what does this need to finish it? And just had a look at the composition, you know, anything that just looked a little bit off. What do I need to just fine tune here in order to call it done? And the changes that I was going to make needed to be able to be done in a short time. So I was looking at it going, half an hour. What could I do in half an hour to be able to call this painting done? Had my cup of tea, brought the painting in, line here, stroke there, cover up this, you know, adjust a few little adjustments, and then step back and went, it's done now. Now, I've made that sound really simple and people are like, it's not that simple, Laura. What I'm trying to say is that I think that I overcomplicate things. And by sort of forcing myself to finish something like that, like say, right, have a cup of tea, have a look at it, and then you're only getting one chance because tomorrow we're going to paint another painting from start to finish. So, you know, I think sometimes we need to push ourselves a little bit. You know, sometimes we can often be our own worst enemy and I can linger and, you know, overthink things. And I found this process of just going for it.
What was the difference?
Really liberating.
What was the difference between taking a photograph and putting it on the screen and hanging it in your pondering spot in the living room?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of artists take progress photos and photos are really helpful. I don't know
Is it because you didn't want to take it down off the wall?
No, I mean, I would have pondered it. I mean, I've always pondered in the past with the actual painting, like hung it on the wall and stared at it. I've taken photographs, but usually the photographs are more like for Instagram or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this time I was taking a photograph with that purpose. I just found I could see clearer on a screen. I can't explain the science behind it or whatever it is. It just worked for me and I wanted to share that today because who knows, it might work for someone else. But yeah, so I did that. I then repeated the process the next day and the next day. And each time I painted a painting, I mixed it up a little bit, like a different colour palette. But I tried to stay focused, you know, rather than going, okay, I've done this really quite abstract piece, so maybe I'll like add a botanical in or something and make a botanical piece. My brain went there, but then I went, you know, stay with the style that you're working on and do another one and then do another one and then keep doing them until you have that confidence back. Because I feel like I had lost my confidence in painting big quite badly. I was feeling like a bit of a fraud in a way because I hadn't been doing that much of my big paintings. That was affecting my mindset and stopping me from getting into the studio. It's just made me think of the episode that we recorded a while back about fear and procrastination. Yeah, this was happening to me with my big canvases. So I was scared and insecure and it was stopping me from even getting started.
So you put your big girl pants on and smashed it, but you prepared yourself first.
It all started with the playlist.
Yeah, it all started with
the playlist. I sounded all serious then, and then when I looked back to the beginning, it was like, well, really, it was just some really good tunes that started this whole adventure.
But whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, you know, and for everyone, it's different. It could be new art supplies. It could be reading a book. It could be listening to a podcast. There's so many things that could provide you with a way in. Another interesting observation that I had was I enjoyed working for several days in a row. I found that very immersive, good for my creativity. You know, you often talk about like painting every day, but that may not be possible for many people. But if you can get like a pocket of stacked time, that's powerful. So you might not get to paint for a couple of weeks, but then if you can do a weekend or something like that and really go in deep, I found that had a big impact on me. I'm changing my mind a little bit about painting, you know, as far as does it need to be super regular or can it be a bit more sporadic?
Well, I guess you need to do both to figure out which one's good for you.
I've done both. Like over the years, you know, when early on in my painting practice, I was almost a daily painter. But as the business has grown, I've had to change that up. And now I'm more of a paint in bursts and then not paint much because we're podcasting and things like that. And that worried me a little bit. But this last little burst has made me feel like as long as I can make sure I get some regular times when I have a few painting days together, that could be even better for me than trying to like sneak it in here and there throughout the days. I don't know, jury's still out on that one. So with that said, I have actually finished this burst of painting now. I've got three paintings that I'm ready to paint the edges of and one that's partway through. So that's pretty good going over 4 days roughly. So I'm going to do that and get some new paintings into local crowd. And then I've got some other work to do. So I'm actually going to slip back into some podcasting, planning, stuff like that.
Don't forget the pieces that are coming back from Elite Framing.
Yes, and getting the watercolour pieces up on my website. But I hope that I'll be able to then go back into painting for a juicy burst sometime around between Christmas and early in January when I'm going away to Bali. And speaking of going to Bali, we are actually going to take a break a little bit longer than we initially said. We were going to come back, I think, on the 8th of January, and now we're coming back on the 15th of January because Laura's going to Bali. I just thought, you know what, let's take an extra week. And we'll be back with a bang in January, and we've got some exciting things coming in the new year, including some free content, free course, that kind of thing. All I can really say is make sure that you are signed up to my newsletter list to hear about what we have on the cards for 2020. So if you want to do that, that's over at laurahornart.com/newsletter.
There's lots of cool stuff over there too.
While you're over on my website, you might want to check out a few things that will get you through this break because we're not going to be podcasting for 3 weeks, but you could catch up on some podcasts that you've missed. And definitely have a look at some of those artist interviews. I mentioned a few of them in today's episode, but They are amazing. And there's also a few of our episodes that I think would be really great for the beginning of a new year or getting yourself ready. Last week we talked about planning, so that was in episode 71. There's also the one I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast about organizing your studio and doing an edit of your art supplies. That's episode 30. And there's a video with that, so that might get you motivated to do a bit of a clean out. And I also want to mention, and this episode is from quite a long time ago, but it's a podcast about finding your artistic style, and it has a workbook and a video that goes with it. I find that I love to think about the direction of my art at the beginning of a new year. You know, brainstorm themes and look at what materials I'm going to use and what bodies of work are going to be created. And this workbook that comes with the podcast and the video is very helpful because it has a whole lot of questions that can guide you as you set about your creative projects for 2020. So I'm going to link that one because even though it's an oldie, it's a goodie. Mm-hmm. So that's it for this week. But before we go, of course, I want to say a huge thank you for everyone that has been tuning in each week. We absolutely love doing this podcast and we enjoy your feedback, your comments, your encouragement. So thank you very much. And I want to wish you a very happy Christmas and of course, a juicy creative year ahead in 2020.